Call the hearing to order. It's day five of the closest planned hearings, the first day of hearings and others. Morning. Before you kick off, I just have one residual matter for Mr. Barr that I thought of over the weekend, as you do. But I wonder if you could add to your list of matters to address and reply whether, as regards the Makarora Rural Lifestyle Zone areas that you've recommended, for those who have already subdivided and have building platforms, is there any practical difference between they're having a rural lifestyle or a rural zoning on their land? Obviously, if they haven't subdivided, there's all the difference in the world, but as I say, for those who have subdivided.
Thank you.
And obviously, that's one step further along for those who have subdivided, got building platforms and have built.
So you'll be seeing from me at regular intervals. The matter for today is the zoning of Terranova Place, and I'm appearing on behalf of the Jobsons, who I submit a 287. The Terranova Place consists of 9 4,000 square metre lots that are proposed in the proposed district plan to be zoned largely residential, and possibly within the area able to be subdivided down to a density of 2,000 square metres. In my evidence, I included that plan there. And on that plan, you can see that's Terranova Place down the centre and the 9 existing lots there. The red is the large lot residential zone, proposed large lot residential zone, and the yellow, the existing low density residential zone.
While you've got that plan in your hand, which lot is the Jobsons?
The Jobsons are lot one.
Lot one.
But on the intersection of Terranova and Nansen.
And is Ms. Moreau like a trustee of a family trust?
It is.
Or another lot holder?
It is a family trust, yeah. You can also see from that plan that the low-density residential zone has a bit of an indent where Terranova Place is. Or conversely, the large-site residential has a bulge to the south. Terranova Place itself was developed in 2001 and 2002 with 9 lots by central right-of-way. Each lot has power, telecom connections, stormwater disposed of on site, and wastewater collected and pumped by a private pump station to the Anderson Road end of Terre Haute Place. Submission 287 sought that all of Terre Haute Place be rezoned from large up residential to low density residential in the officer's section 42A report. There was some confusion over the extent of the submission, and that had been assessed as applying to just the southern lots of Terre Haute Place, whereas in fact the intention and the submission is quite clear that it applies to all the Terre Haute lots, and it's now been cleared up under rebuttal. The evidence of the officers didn't raise any issues with transport or services, and those issues are covered in detail in the infrastructure report contained in my evidence. My evidence also includes an assessment against the Section 32 matters, and in this regard, I agree with the recommendation of the officer's rebuttal evidence, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Mr. White. You've already answered one of my questions, which is where is the relevant lot? Obviously, your clients are one landowner of nine. Have they discussed their submission with their fellow Terre Haute Place neighbours? And is there, can you report any input, informal input necessarily, of the neighbours?
I can. The submission is from one of them. There has been quite some involvement from one of the other Terre Haute Place owners, who happens to be an engineer and assisted with the preparation of the infrastructure report. Those owners are on board with the submission. I have taken the opportunity to contact as many of the other Terre Haute Place residents as I can, and some of them are interested, and some of them have said don't particularly mind which way the zone goes. I don't particularly see that they will develop in the short term, but can see some long-term advantage of it. And there's one guy who has spoken to me who said that they do not support the rezoning and would prefer it to stay as lifestyle residential.
Yeah, can you identify which lot that is?
Lot 8.
And we did see the blank sections, but so for my personal record, can you identify please the lots that are not yet built on?
I think there's lot 8 and lot 2 that haven't been built on.
The
location of existing houses, yes, on all of those lots is certainly a constraint for future development. And I have had a bit of a look at that, and the position of some of those houses means that, well, the theoretical density is probably one, each lot could be subdivided to 9. I think realistically, given the position of those houses, it's more likely that each of those lots could be subdivided into 4. And that's taking into account the position of the existing houses, but also the fact that those houses, with the exception of Jobson's, have all been constructed since 2001. So they're all relatively recent houses and all quite large given the existing zone.
my final question is that the council's transport witness, Ms. Banks, suggested to us that there might be a need to upgrade Terranova Place, which, as you identified, as a right of way. If that were required, is it practically possible? What would all of the, in terms of the terms of the right of way, would all of the landowners on the street have to consent to, for instance, to widen it?
That is possibly the biggest constraint to development of that particular site. The right of way is set up as being 15 metres wide at the moment, so it is wide enough to service future development of the site. Council's current requirement is that any more than 12 lots be vested in council as a road, so we're pretty close to that threshold anyway. The width of 15 metres provides for it to be able to be widened, but as it is a right of way, there will need to be some form of agreement between all of the nine landowners before development can take place.
Thank you, Mr. White. Councillor and Commissioner Monroe.
Thanks, sir. Look, I just have a couple of questions following up on what you've just been asked. So, there's a threshold of 12 units before a road has been listed. Mm-hmm. I think you said there's maybe two sites currently vacant. So, seven houses. Is that, how many houses are there up there?
There are seven houses.
Seven. So, in theory, some lucky punter could get in, squeeze through another five, or four, stay under the 12 threshold, and it would be someone else's problem to then take more.
That's correct.
And you said based on the existing configuration of houses, that it's more likely each of the lots might be only developed to more like four. I want to be clear that we're not going to end up in a situation, and it's not said to be questioning anyone's motives, where one landowner just uses this to get a few more units on their site and nobody else, for practical purposes, can do anything. Do you think the risk of that happening is likely at all?
It is a risk, certainly. And I don't see it as a risk because there's other issues that also require repairing as well. There's the stormwater system and the wastewater system. And those, the issues there are slightly different, but the overall theme is the same, is that there's capacity constraints of all those services that will require all the landowners to work together.
In particular regard to lots 1 and 9 that have frontage to Henderson Road, mm-hmm. would any subdivision of those two lots be able to get around the Terranova Place question by having separate access to Henderson Road?
Certainly lot 9 would have the ability to construct some more accesses onto Anderson Road and be clear of the Terranova and Anderson Road intersections. That might apply to lot 1 as well.
One of the challenges, or not even a challenge, one of the matters we have to work through, of course, is the default zone controls weren't written with the anticipation of a whole bunch of additional site-specific requirements. Mm-hmm. And so, in terms of the advice you're giving us about, effectively, some form of integrative outcome will have to be achieved because the landowners are going to have to work together. that's purely a function of the nature of the existing easement slash covenants slash titles only. There's nothing in the district plan that would of itself require or compel any requirement of the landowners to work together?
No, it's not.
Would it be possible to supply to us some of the information that you're telling us we can rely on? So, Terranova Place, about how those how those easements and covenants work and what specific triggers would force the landowners to work together. I'm particularly interested in lots 1 and 9 or 2 and 8 being developed and maximising themselves out. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, that if one considers a full subdivision of all of those, maybe there's an argument that 15 metres isn't quite enough. And there might be some plausible argument that a bit more width might be necessary somewhere for an extra passing bay or a parking lane or whatever. But if half the lots have already been subdivided and chopped up, that becomes a problem. So then you have to know what that is at the start to not foreclose it, and I'm struggling to see how the zone provisions would take care of that. It might be that they can. I'm waiting to be explained.
So, to be clear, Commissioner, you're asking for a copy of the right of way?
I think so, yeah. Thank you, sir.
Obviously, that's a public document, Mr. White, but is there, are you able to supply that? Can you give me a time frame that that wouldn't be an issue for you?
Well, we search those all the time, so that's something I can provide to you this afternoon.
Well, appreciate that, but it doesn't have to be quite that far. can I say for the record that we'll have it by the end of this week?
You may. Now, is there any other documentation you'd like at the same time? Because that sounds like that question was more than just the right-of-way documentation.
If there's any relevant documentation substantiating what you said about the services, stormwater, etc., then helping me to understand the nature of the circumstances that would require the cooperation of the landowners that I think you're telling us will occur is really what I'm seeking. So I don't know what documentation is out there, so it's a bit of a blind question, really.
I'll see what I can find.
Whatever you can find, I think, substantiate what's going to make the landowners work together, because I think that would certainly help me. But assuming you can provide that documentation, your view is that those mechanisms are sufficient, that in conjunction with what is in the district plan, a satisfactorily coordinated subdivision could occur on all the sites.
It could, but given there are unknown owners, there is always some complexity around whether they want to and a time, and that can't be controlled through district plan and through the other legal mechanism that you put on the title, that you might have set approved.
Last question.
Excuse me.
Assuming we got to the point where we supported the upzoning, but we weren't quite so confident on the entirely outside of the district plan mechanism through which the landowners might get together, would the submission allow for, and could you imagine there might be any merit for, the inclusion of a site-specific rule that required, as part of any consent for these sites, some evidence of a agreed long-term upgrade of the road or whatever other infrastructure requirements might be necessary, if the case may be?
I can certainly see that would be relevant. I would wonder whether council would want to go to that level of detail, given it is for 9 existing lots.
Yeah, well, let us worry about that, but in terms of the resource management merit and our consideration of alternatives, and accepting the point that the council has a certain point of detail that probably would otherwise not like to say, otherwise I wouldn't propose them, is that a red herring, effectively? Should we bother keeping that in the mix as one of the options we consider, or do you think it's really just agree to rezone or not?
It's certainly something you can consider. Yeah. I would. Well, my personal opinion is it's a relatively small scale issue, probably too small a scale to warrant a site specific.
Yeah, well, I think that's a really very clear answer. Thank you. That's all for me.
Okay, no further questions? Thank you, Mr. White, for your attendance. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Your contribution to the discussion, and we'll look forward to seeing you again in the near future.
In the very near future, in fact, I'm back on Thursday.
Yes. adjourn pending Mr. Edgar's arrival.